se passe day by day. I'm on the road to recovery, trusting God along the way, trusting God all the way.
Come on, Michael.
There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
All right, welcome. We're going to start out the meeting with a joke from our joke teller, Greg. Let's welcome up Greg.
Greg.
Hi, I'm Greg, and I
Boo. Get the hook.
Hey guys, I'm Greg and I'm your alcoholic joke
guy. Hey Greg.
A drunk guy met up with his friend at a bar. The friend noticed that the man had bright red blisters on both ears and asked him what happened. The drunk responded, "My wife left the iron on. When the phone rang, I picked up the iron by mistake." His friend thought this over and then asked him what happened to his other ear. The drunk responded, "The damn fool called back."
It wasn't good.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. All right, welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group. To prepare for our Big Book Study, let's get focused by having a three-minute meditation followed by the fog light prayer.
Good evening, everyone. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
And I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to start the meditation in a minute, so please take a moment to get situated.
Please turn off all devices that make noise that will distract others for the duration of the meeting.
The coffee area will be open for this portion of the meeting. Just try to minimize distractions.
Also, please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down.
For the meditation, some suggestions are focus on your breath and posture, breathe in God, and breathe out self.
Take this time to get reconnected to God, let the craziness of the day drift away, and ask God to help you stay focused on study. So we're going to turn out the lights, we're going to turn on the monks, and we'll see you all in 3 minutes.
Thank you.
God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. Now we're going to have Donald come up and do our secretary's report. When's the big spaghetti dinner?
Supposedly September 9th. And what's you got to bring desserts and whatnot? I got to bring desserts to a spaghetti dinner? That's the lamest thing. Anyways, remember, guys, no tickets from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. After that, your car is subject to towing or even booting. So don't get booted. Anyways. Hey, I'm Don. I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary.
Hi, Don.
Hey, guys. And keep with the same tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining those outside contributions. The baskets are going around now. Dig a little deep. As the baskets are going around, I've asked Jeremy to read a recovered statement. Now, we read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify... Thanks. Much better, man. Identify... I hate fluorescent lights. It reminds me of hospitals. Jeez. But rather than recovering, what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic, let's welcome up Jeremy. Come on, Jeremy.
I'm Jeremy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jeremy.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presence... a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered. Yeah.
Good job. 1940 style big book sponsorship and forward a second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, alcoholics came to AA and really tried. 50% got sobered up and stayed that way. Now, 25% sobered up after some relapses among the remainder. Those who stayed on AA showed improvement. Now, what we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time. Neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. Now, the statistics I just rattled off suggest a 75% success rate. Now, in the back, we have CDs, mugs, large print big books, literate books, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Monday promptly at 7:15. We ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the Road to Recovery 2. Thanks, guys.
To the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. We have Alcoholics Anonymous for more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book and of this group.
From There's a Solution, also from the big book, the tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism.
This is an open meeting, and as such, all who have an interest in alcoholism and our program of recovery are welcome. Because this is an open meeting, you need not identify yourself nor your reason for being here. If you do not wish to do so, your anonymity will be protected. We ask that you protect ours. On the subject of anonymity, this meeting is podcast. If you don't want your voice out on the internet, feel free to not talk into the microphone, or you can disguise your voice.
And is there anyone joining us for the first time who would like to introduce themselves?
Awesome.
Oh, show of hands of the recovered alcoholics. Talk to the people who have their hands up.
While this is an open meeting, membership in this group is limited to those who wish to recover from alcoholism and have a desire to stop drinking for good and all. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is a potential sponsor of a new member and should clearly recognize the obligations and duties of such a responsibility.
And for our big book study, if you didn't bring your own, we have loaners at the end of each table. Feel free to grab one.
Before we begin our study of the big book, last week we reviewed tradition
10.
So this week we're going to take a quick review of tradition 11. So please revert in the unabridged big book, page 562, and in the abridged big book, page 177. And let's welcome up Spencer.
Hey,
Spencer, alcoholic.
Hey, Spencer.
All right, tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And the long form states, our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not to be broadcasted, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. All right, cool. So how does that take place in my my high-profile lifestyle? Well, let me tell you. For me, this looks like, you know, if somebody asks me, I will tell them I'm sober. And if they inquire how they can be sober themselves, I might recommend AA. But, like, I don't go around in my day-to-day and be like, you know, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I just don't broadcast these things. You know, I'm more than willing to help somebody who is in need. But, you know, my mailman doesn't need to know I'm an AA. Thank you.
Awesome. Tonight we're going to begin on, in order to help us stay focused as we study the Big Book, we use the Big Book study guide prepared by Joe and Charlie and Krusty Cliff of the Dallas Primary Purpose Group.
And tonight we're going to begin reading on page 89.
Yep.
Right, which will be read from the front by tonight's reader, Darren.
After the page is read, we're going to ask questions from the podium, starting back at the page, the top of page 89. The answers will be one sentence unless otherwise specified, and multi-part questions are simply a one-sentence answer split up by commas, semicolons, hyphens, and other fun bits of punctuation.
Basically, in English, what that means is that we're going to read the material once through and then redissect the information a second time through the question and answer format. Notice how the language in the questions gives us a new light in which to consider the study material.
This is important because hearing the question and rereading the content offers a definite way of comprehending the material covered. After we've completed the page, we open up for comments, questions, and observations based on what was just read. If you have spiritual experiences with this information, you're free to share.
However, Big Book study is not therapy. Should you begin sharing about topics which are more appropriately discussed in a different IE sponsorship setting, please do not be offended when we cut that conversation short. For that purpose, we have fellowship meetings before and after our study time.
You can never go wrong by commenting on the page, which brings us to the words of one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. Sobriety, freedom from alcohol through the teaching and practice of the 12 steps, is the sole purpose of any Alcoholics Anonymous group. So we didn't just decide that we were going to start on page 89 tonight. We've been reading for about 52 weeks now. And to catch us up to where we are tonight, we're going to have Jay do a quick recap.
Yay. All right. So we started way back in the beginning of the book, in the preface and the forewords. We got a lot of information about what Alcoholics Anonymous is. You know, if you're going to join an organization, you kind of need to know what it's about. There's also a lot of cool fun facts and statistics in there. Then we get into the doctor's opinion. It explains to us what our problem is, you know. We have a threefold illness, a mental obsession, a physical allergy, and a spiritual malady. Then we get into Bill's story, and we kind of get to see the progression of his disease. We get to see how it was fun at first, and then it wasn't. And then at the end, we have like a 12-step call and print. And then we get to, now that we saw what the problem is, we got to get into some solution. So we have a few chapters about that. The first one is called There is a Solution. And it talks about the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and how important that is. But what is more important is that we have discovered this common solution. And that's what holds us together. The solution is God. Then we get into more about alcoholism. It's a great chapter. That's just a bunch of examples of self-knowledge, not keeping these people sober. You know, they get this knowledge of their alcoholism, but it's not enough. What do they need? They need a spiritual solution. If you have a problem with spirituality, we have a chapter called We Agnostics. There's just a lot of fun stuff in that chapter to kind of challenge your views and maybe get your mind open a little bit to just, you know, try the program. And if you're on board with all that stuff, we get into our program of action. The first chapter we have is how it works. That's where we start our third step, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we start our third step, and then we start writing our fourth step. you know, we give our life over to God, and then a good way to do that is to start writing our four step. After we write the four step, we get into action, and we discuss that four step with our sponsor. We get an idea of what our character defects are, and then we decide to give those over to God. Once we do that, we're kind of doing a little bit better, walking on the straight and narrow. It's time to clear away the wreckage of our past. So we write our harms list, you know, and we set out to make amends. Once we get done with that, we have what I like to call the growth steps. We have 10 and 11, you know. We get to practice our four-step daily, you know. And if we screw up, we can kind of, we can catch it right away. You know what I mean? If we're full of fear, we can call somebody. We can pray about it. It's a real fun step. And then we have a really, another fun step, step 11. There's all these kind of spiritual readings, you know. We want to grow our connection with God. We want to stay accountable with our sponsor, and that's what we do in step 11. We take inventory and we pray.
Wow. Yeah, you made that sound real fun.
Huh?
You made that sound really fun.
Thanks. Yeah,
you're
it's
welcome.
A good time.
Yeah. Awesome. So tonight we're going to get started in the chapter Working with Others. Before we start any chapter, we have a study guide blue page that we read beforehand. So we're going to read that real quick. Working with others, now comes our primary purpose. We have ended our debate as to whether or not there really is a God as we understand him through steps 1, 2, and 3.
We put an end to the debates and confusion that goes on in our heads through steps 4, 5, 6, and 7.
We have put an end to the disputes and disharmony with those about us through steps 8 and 9.
We learned how to clear our minds of resentments, fear, selfishness, dishonesty, etc. through step 10.
We learned how to talk to God, prayer, and try to listen to God, meditation, through step 11.
We are ready to go to work. Having done our work as directed, we have been blessed with a spiritual awakening / experience. We have had a personality change sufficient to recover from alcoholism. Now we go to work with our program.
If we truly appreciate what God has done for us, we will show him our gratitude by the way we begin to repay our debt to him and all those who made it possible for us to live a life filled with peace of mind and a real purpose. Chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 give us information that we need to begin to learn how to do that.
Our first responsibility is to the alcoholic who is still suffering from alcoholism, the newcomer. Chapter 7 gives us clear-cut directions on where to find the sick ones, how to qualify them, how to help the serious drinkers understand what alcoholism is, and determine if they, in fact, might be an alcoholic. We are then given directions on how to sponsor them into sobriety. Those of us who are willing to apply the experience and knowledge revealed in this chapter will be blessed with many friends and realize the true joy of living. It is an experience we must not miss. If you do, we will very likely return to drinking and may never have another chance at sobriety.
Notice a rather significant change in the wording of this chapter. Through the first six chapters, the word we is used extensively. He now begins using the word you. He points his finger at each one of us to make it clearer as to whose responsibility it is to try to carry this message to other alcoholics. It is the responsibility of each of us to protect our sobriety by searching out and the still suffering alcoholic and go to them with an attitude of love and service.
It is easier to stay sober than it is to sober up. Working with others is our insurance against returning to drink.
Boom. All right, so we'll go ahead and start reading chapter 7, Working with Others. We'll start on page 8 and 9, and we'll cut you off.
I'm good. Darren, alcoholic.
Hey, Darren.
Working with others. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. They will be only too glad to assist you. Don't start out as an evangelist or reformer. Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice exists. You will be handicapped if you arouse it. Ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he is very drunk unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval. Then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he will go to any extreme to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as part of their own recovery, try to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. If he does not want to see you, never force yourself upon him. Neither should the family hysterically plead with him to do anything, nor should they tell him much about you. They should wait for the end of his next drinking bout. You might place this book where he can see it in the interval. Here, no specific rule can be given. The family must decide these things, but urge them not to be over anxious, for that might spoil matters.
And we're going to begin the questions back at the beginning of the chapter. How this will work is Jay will read a question, and then Darren's going to answer that question with a line out of the book that we just read, and we'll do a paragraph, and then we'll open it up for comments.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
What does practical experience show us?
Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics.
If all else fails, do what?
It works when other activities fail.
Carry what to whom?
This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics.
Who else is able to help the suffering alcoholic?
You can help when no one else can.
Why are you able to do this?
You can secure their confidence when others fail.
Why is it so important from their viewpoint?
Remember, they are very ill.
All right, we'll go ahead and we'll open that up for conversation.
I have a comment here from the book, too, and it says, why did we come to Alcoholics Anonymous in the first place, regarding that first paragraph?
I also like, I mean, obviously this is in chapter 7, but this is not something that's news to us at this point. Like, they've mentioned at some point in every chapter up until now that working with another alcoholic is going to ensure sobriety. So this is not a surprise.
My name is John, an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
And over the years, what working with others do is it keeps me in the work as well. You know, I do this more for me than for them, but I do it for them because I need to give back what was freely given to me by the people that I surrounded myself with. And, you know, it says here, this is our 12th suggestion. Well, a ways back, you know, we replaced the word suggestions with musts, you know, because I needed to make this thing stick in my life, this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is not a suggestion for me. It's a must for me. And carrying this message to other alcoholics is one of the ways that my sponsor told me to make sure that my sobriety is in check. Keep on giving it back and keep on talking about it and keep on, you know, giving it back, like I just said. And you know, it's been a number of years now, and I'm still sober by listening to some of these things that they talk about in the book. And I'm grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Hey, Jay. So I read pages 1 to 164 when I was in treatment center, and I didn't have a sponsor, and I just kind of read the book. And chapter 7 at that time, I was like, what are they talking about? What is all this stuff, you know? I'm glad that I worked the steps with a sponsor out of the big book to where I had this spiritual awakening. And so when I'm reading this, like, it really makes sense to me. You know, I never, when I got to AA, I was like, I wasn't even sure if I was going to sponsor people. I was like, I'm just going to do, take what I can and then, like, maybe go back home. And then something, like, changed in me to where, like, I had this overwhelming sense of gratitude for the people that came before me and helped me. And I wanted to be that example for the newcomers, you know. So I think it's really cool when you start on page zero and you go through the work with your sponsor and then you get here, it makes so much more sense than if you just kind of read it.
Thanks, Jay.
Good evening, Alcoholic Mike Chase. Is it working? Good. You know, for my first couple of years being back in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you were to ask me what the message of Alcoholics Anonymous was, I would have said, well, meeting makers make it. Service keeps you sober, so I was doing any amount of service I could. I was going to all types of meetings, but yet I kept relapsing. And I was told, just don't drink between meetings, and you won't get drunk. And, well, guess what? An untreated alcoholic will. What I do is I drink between meetings. I was really confused of what the message was because I was not in a big book AA-based recovery. It was a bunch of problem heavy hard drinkers who looked at AA as a great day to come blow off steam after a hard day of work or something to look forward to throughout the day so they don't drink because I'm going to get to a meeting, I'm going to see my friends, and that stuff just didn't work for me. It wasn't until I sat down and was brought through the book by somebody that I learned what the real message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as meeting up with friends, having coffee, and talking about the weather. I got that wrong. Nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as calling your sponsor every day. No, you know, that stuff does not work to keep a real alcoholic sober. It keeps problem-heavy hard drinkers sober, but I found that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Getting out of myself, allowing God to use me as a vessel so I grow closer to God and I actually find myself having a purpose. It works when all other measures fail. I saw very early on that in the rooms of AA, a bunch of the youngins were getting sober, but they couldn't wait a year to sponsor back in the 80s and early 90s and 2000s. That was pretty much AA law. And I saw them getting bored. I saw them getting squirrely. You know, they got through the steps, but, you know, they were making coffee and they were doing service and stuff like that. But it's like being on a sports team and you're stuck on the bench the whole time. And everybody else is out getting fun, enjoying, and participating. And you just get, I saw them just getting bored and they just stopped coming to meetings. And then we started getting kids, youngins, newcomers, sponsoring early on, you know, 30, 40, 50 days into recovery. And they were sticking around and they were getting sober and they were getting other people. And it really much changed the whole geography of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. It wasn't reserved for people with 5.5 years or more. It wasn't reserved for those who have earned it. It was for people who need it because if they didn't do it, they were going to get drunk because that's what happens. If you don't work intensively with alcoholics one-on-one, you're going to drink if you're a real alcoholic. And if you're not a real alcoholic, what the hell are you doing here? Get a life. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike Chase.
Chris, grateful recovered alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
And I'm very excited about going through this chapter because I am looking for someone to work with at this point. And I think, I don't know, before I thought maybe I wasn't worthy. I mean, I'm coming up on 8 months. But what he just said, you know, I've gone through the steps. And I've been talking to people. I talked to a guy I went through treatment with. I went through treatment back January, February. And I was like, hey, have you been through the steps? And he's like, no, man, I know I've been sober about a year, but this time I'm just like taking it slow. I'm not running. I was like, okay, man, whatever, suit yourself. But, you know, I talked to somebody else, and I kind of made it known that I am looking for people to work with. And I was
I just said to this guy, you know, hey, do you want to get together and read the book sometime? Gave him my number. He texted me. Then I, like, the next day texted him, like, hey, it's a good day to not be, you know, scrounging around in your wife's purse for money for alcohol, isn't it? You know, like, maybe he could relate to me or something. And, you know, I didn't hear back from him. And I'm not going to, like, bombard him with text messages or anything. But I really appreciate what you just said, Mike Chase. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Anybody else? Next paragraph.
What will happen to your life?
Life will take on new meaning.
What happens as the result of us doing what we must do to assure our sobriety?
To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss.
Are you willing to take a risk on missing what this is really all about?
We know you will not want to miss it.
What is the bright spot of our lives?
Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives.
All right, we'll go ahead and open that up. I'm just jumping into the next one real quick then.
Is it hard to believe? Wait. Is it hard to believe, but it may be that some of us are not what?
Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover.
Where do the first 100 suggest you start?
You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals.
I have a comment here that says, can you think of other possibilities? Why would you think they might be glad to help you with your search?
They will be only too glad to assist you.
Better not do what?
Don't start out as an evangelist or reformer.
What two reasons are given? Two sentences.
Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice exists. You will be handicapped if you arouse it.
Who can we learn something from, and what can you do that they can't?
Ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics.
So we do what?
So cooperate, never criticize.
What is our real purpose?
To be helpful is our only aim.
All right, we'll open up those two comments. I like the thing of that second paragraph. To want to recover. You know, this is 1935 Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like, nowadays, we get them brought in by the van full. So we have plenty of people that we can find that to recover.
All right, so going back to that first paragraph where it says life takes on new meaning. You know, I love what this says, and I thought about it while you were reading the second one, of course. To watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Which reminds me, tomorrow I go down to Miami and Coral Gables to a meeting. Me and Don go down. And I've been friends with these guys for almost 30 years. A good half a dozen of them over 30 years. And the rest of them probably 10 or 15 years. And it's the bright spot of my week is going down there, having dinner, doing a meeting. And, you know, we drive up, we drive down, we drive back. We have the meeting before the meeting after the meeting. And it's kind of the bright, it's a long day for me because I get up early, but it's the bright spot of my week. Tuesday night is definitely a bright spot of my week. So that's all. It just made me think of it, and I just wanted to relate to it. And, you know, I love this. I love all the material. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
In the middle of that last paragraph, I just love the reminder of, you know, but it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. Just the tie to the promise of, you know, no matter how far down the scale you have gone, you can always be useful to others. Because me as an alcoholic, I try to go out and work with people. I think my perfectionism can kick in a lot. And I feel like over time I've noticed in myself, like if I'm not the perfect sponsor, I can poke holes in myself when it's like it's really not about me. The fact that I do have flaws and I do have defects makes me be more of service to this person that is struggling. That's all I got. Thanks.
All right, we're going to learn how to qualify a serious drinker for a 12-step call. When you learn of a prospect, do what first?
When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him.
When do we not bother to talk to him?
If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him.
Why?
You may spoil a later opportunity.
Who else should know this?
This advice is given for his family also.
What position should the family take?
They should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person.
All right, we'll go ahead and open that up. Spence.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic. Hey, Spencer. I think this is a really vital paragraph for somebody who's going into their first sponsorship opportunity. It's to not waste time on people who don't want to actually get sober, especially with the area that we're in. You know, like Ryan said, they're bringing them in by the van full. You know, and what is it? One in every eight vans has an alcoholic on it who wants to get sober. I don't know what the ratio is, but it's not great. And you could waste a whole lot of time trying to help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. So I find this paragraph to be super important to remember in my day-to-day of trying to find somebody to help. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. Alcoholic Mike Chase. You know, I've had a lot of family members come up to me and ask me if I can fix their family member, if I can help them. And, the advice I can do is, direct them to a meeting, but also at the same time, tell that family member, maybe you might want to go check out Al-Anon, because you could be the most helpful to that person by being a member of an Al-Anon, so you know how to deal with this. And luckily, we're going to read to the wives and family afterwards in a month, hopefully sooner, and we'll do that. But, this whole thing, if he does not want to stop drinking, you got to learn, how to pick up on that, They miss I give everybody three strikes. If on the third blow off, they don't show up for, it's like I stop texting them. The first couple of times we give them their mocus, they're young, they're give them a break. But it's not hard to read the people who are here just to get the job back, the wife back, the car back, the boss off their back, and stuff like that. So we don't want to be manipulated to be used for, my wife, I had this one, oh my God, call my wife and tell her I was at the meeting. It's like, no, this is not my job. I'm not working for her. And the thing that's going to come up is my job is to qualify these potential alcoholic members of AA. If I'm sensing this is an alcoholic, give them 100% of whatever I can do to help them. If they're a problem having a hard drinker, tell them the facts. Let them go through the book and realize, hey, I really should be just going to therapy. Screw this AA stuff. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that Alcoholics Anonymous is filled with alcoholics and not people who need a social life. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike Chase.
Darren, alcoholic.
Hey, Darren.
I like the part about not wasting time to try to persuade him. It just made me think of the pride that can show up in me in wanting to persuade people, because it can, make me feel good. But in that, I can forget how God had to, or my higher power had to orchestrate something spectacular for me to be open-minded to getting sober. So I need to remember that they have a higher power in their life as well that's creating that later opportunity that they described. That's all I got. Thanks.
John, alcoholic. So I find this to be a program of attraction. You see, when my sponsor said, if you want what I have, you'll do what I do. And I followed him around for a while, and he was a speaker down in Miami. And he started taking me through the steps, and I really didn't want to do the steps, and I really didn't but I really didn't want what I had. You know, I wanted what he had. He was, you know, he was married. He had a successful business. He was a good speaker in Alcoholics Anonymous. But besides that, he had a lot of the qualities that I wanted. What I didn't want is what I had. Did I want to do the work? No. But this was a program of attraction, and I was attracted to what he had, and I did the work as a result. Now, it says don't waste your time trying to persuade people. It's very hard to persuade somebody who does not want this to want this. Now, I'm pretty good at like not wasting my time on people, except when it came to my family years back. You know, I wasted a lot of time. I mean, I didn't waste a lot of time. My daughter, I tried to persuade her years back to come in. My son, my sister, and my sister now has got 25 years. My daughter's got 12. And my son is not drinking anymore, but he doesn't go to meetings, so he's dry. But this is definitely a program of attraction. You know, if you want what I have, you'll do what I do. We'll go to meetings together. We'll do the work together. And but if you don't want to do it, you know, I give my number out so many times to so many people. Maybe they'll call once. Then they'll call 3 weeks from now, still having problems with his wife. How many meetings are you going to? Who are you calling? Who are you working with? What are you doing? You know, and they're just not, they don't get it. They're not doing the deal. You know, and but as I've gone through life in my last 30 years, I've found a number of people who do want this thing, who do want to get better, who want to become better versions of themselves. And those are the people that I spend the time with. And it's a blessing to see somebody's life turn around and see somebody, the spark in their eyes come to light and love doing this deal and love going to the meetings and love hanging out and going to dinner and doing everything that we do. Anyway, that's it.
Thanks, John. Anybody else? All right, do the next one.
If they indicate they have a desire to stop drinking, what is a good first thing to do?
If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife.
Why would we want to do this?
Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings.
How can this help you?
You need this information to put yourself in his place to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned.
All right, we'll go ahead and we'll open that up for comments. This is another example to me of, you know, this is the 1935 advice, but we don't have to deal with this as much. So when I see someone at a meeting that puts his hand up trying to get a sponsor, I talk to that person after the meeting and I take them for a walk. You know, I find out that information they just told us to find out from the source.
I like the selflessness of that last bit there. Get an idea of his behavior, of his problems, of his background, you know, the seriousness of his condition. Like we're putting, you know, like we're in this altruistic movement, you know, and we want to like do right by it, and we have to like learn about the people that we're going to be helping, you know. And it really helps us, like, get out of ourselves, you know? Like, what's going on with you, you know? Like, what are your problems? And then you start listening to those, and all of a sudden yours start to melt away, you know? And you at least forget about it for that hour or two that you're speaking with him, you know? See how you would like to approach him, or see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Like, how would I want to be approached if I was just coming in and, you know what I mean, I raised my hand for help, like, all these things you have to consider, and in doing that, we're getting out of self, you know. And for me, that's a good place to be.
Thanks, Jerry.
I'm Matt. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah, I think like when I first got sober, I had this idea of sponsorship where I was like, I'm gonna approach the person. Well, I'm gonna approach the person. I'm gonna tell them like I'm gonna like not pitch them on AA, but like sell myself as a sponsor, and then I'm going to do the work, you know? Whereas, like, and, like, what I like about this reading is it talks about how, like, we're not, like, selling something, you know? Like, everybody in AA is different. So I know for me, like, I've had guys who I sponsor who are very, like, lighthearted, and like it's fun to like joke around with them and be cool. I've also had guys who are like really in the depths of their alcoholism. It's like, well, they don't really want to hear me joking around about their drinking, you know? And I think really it's just a lesson on like being a person, right? Like if I were to walk into a room and see someone like crying, like would I like cut it up with them or would I like console them, you know? When I first went through the book, it's funny, like I got to the end of chapter 6 and my sponsor was just like, all right, go do it, you know, and I never read chapter 7. And it wasn't for like, God, like 2 years into my sobriety before I read that. And like shocking that like most of the sponsorship that I did was like really ineffective. So with that, I pass.
Recovered alcoholic, Mike Chase.
I'm Mike Chase.
I am responsible. Anytime, anywhere, anyone reaches out for the hand of AA, I am responsible to have that hand to help them. So if I start talking to a newcomer, I find it's really important to find out a little bit of information about him because potentially I'm going to be spending maybe 30 hours one-on-one with this person. And the fact is, are we going to click? Is there going to be a relationship or is it going to be like, is his personality going to be like fingernails on the chalkboard to me? Or am I going to be fingernails on the chalk? Is it not going to fit, you know? But we all, I got a sponsor. Yeah, but I'm also responsible for making sure that newcomer maybe he's working with the right person. I might not be the best person to sponsor him. Maybe John is, because John can take him out scuba diving and have all kinds of fun stuff with him and bring him through the book and drag him to meetings. Or maybe the kid's, you know, from the woods, so let's get him, you know, to Jason. So, you know, we're all great. You know, that's one thing about alcoholics. We know about everybody in the rooms, and we know how to network really well. You know, yeah, I want to sponsor people, but I don't want to be so selfish that I'm putting his best recovery at stake just so I can sponsor somebody. You know, I'm going to send him to Matt, let Matt style work with them, you know? And we're out fair about that. Also, I learned very early that if you're not sponsored yourself, you have no right to be sponsoring. If you haven't been through the full 164 pages one-on-one with a sponsor, you're not ready to sponsor. You need to have that ability to pass on what's been passed on to you. Over here, I've got the three recommended ingredients for sponsorship. The first one is make sure you have all the ingredients. Well, what are the ingredients? Quality recovery. A quality place where you guys can meet up that's a sanctuary, like that there's privacy and there's something special about it, and you two can have a private conversation. Follow directions precisely. Do what your sponsor did before you. Don't do it, build it, and make shit up. You know, before he got the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And also repeat when you're finished. Every time I'm done work with a newcomer, God's going to put a new one in my life to work with because I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. But, you know, if you have not done this or you currently aren't prepared to do this, then you probably should get through the system and then get a sponsor because you don't want broken people helping somebody who's broken. Thanks.
And do the next paragraph.
Sometimes it is a good idea to do what?
Sometimes it is wise to wait till he goes on a binge.
Who is going to resist this idea?
The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it.
When is a good time to ask a prospect a very important question?
Don't deal with him when he is very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help.
Sorry. When is a good time to ask a prospect a very important question? And then you can read the next sentence. I messed up.
Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval.
What question should the serious drinker be asked?
Then let his family or a friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so.
If the prospect says yes to the question, what should the family do then?
If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered.
How should you be described to the prospect, and what condition should be met by the prospect?
You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as part of their own recovery, try to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you.
That message that holds depth and weight. This was the thing that kept me coming into the rooms of AA. was, you know, hearing people talking about experiences that I felt in my own life, but hearing about them talk about it from a recovered point of view was what kept me coming back.
Alcoholic Mike Chase.
Hi, Mike Chase.
This here is one of the most powerful paragraphs that we're going to be studying in the working with others. So I move that we close the meeting now and get back and do this one so we can spend adequate time with it next week. Anyone want to second that? All in favor?
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Mike Chase.
Yeah. I always love ending early. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is a great fact for us.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.
It is the practice of the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group for group member sponsors to introduce their new sponsees by presenting them with a sponsorship medallion. Does anybody have a sponsee they want to introduce to the group and get them connected? Bring two next week.
Anyone celebrating a year or more of sobriety that would like a medallion? Bring two next week.
Is anyone in need of a sponsor?
Bring two next week. If you'd like to become a member of this group, please join us after the meeting to fill out a membership card.
Can all home group members please raise your hand, and then you can help us after the meeting?
Yes. Thank you for joining us tonight. We hope to see you next week and Thursday evening as our Alcoholics and God Step Series workshop starting at 7:15 in this very room. We've got Kelly H. She'll be doing session 4 out of 6. And then after her, we've got Peter M. starting up a 12-week series.
Please wait till you're 75 feet away from the doors to vape or smoke.
Also, real quick, no meeting next week, next Monday. Don't come. No one will be here.
Meeting is off. Don't drink.
Hey, wherever two or more are gathered. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Who woke us up today? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Heart is heavy, soul is thirsty, body's aching. Desperately in need of restoration, yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher, yeah. The only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. Stronger man, getting on my knees puts me back.
just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man. Getting on my knees puts me back on my feet again. On my own, I just can't get it right. It doesn't matter how hard I try, but with you I become a much stronger man.
And oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing, yes, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. Stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope
It's the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, shine, shine. Let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. I see the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white light to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, hang them out to dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's almost up. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Like never before, I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Plugging my guitar. my songs, and people sing along and stomp their feet and raise their arms. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come up.
Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Yeah.
and I got one man that steals my dignity. Got one man that just won't set me free. But clap your hands and believe me, children. Yeah.